Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this fine food Friday, August 6th. No, it's August 5th, isn't it? I believe it is. I'm Ray Graff. It's the height of summer, which means the odds are great that you're fired up that grill and it's ready to rock. Whether you're throwing a barbecue for family and friends or looking for a quick, easy, and delicious way to cook a meal, there are a few tricks to barbecuing that you should learn. Well, aren't you lucky today? Because here to help you with that is cooking instructor and writer Byron Nielsen. So fire up the grill, give us a call, 800-348-2551. It is a topic near and dear to my heart, clogged though it may be. It is barbecuing here on a Food Friday, 800-348-2551. Your calls are coming up right after the news. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Whether you prefer propane or charcoal, meat or veggies, tongs or brand, smoking or grilling, barbecue is a universally enjoyed summer culinary activity, and it's not hard to do. It's hard to be good at it, though. The possibilities are endless and delicious. There are a few tricks. We have an expert in the studio with us to answer your questions. Yeah, don't look around. It's you. It's Byron Nielsen, instructor at the Different Drummers Kitchen Cooking School in Albany. He's also a chef, an actor, a singer, a writer, and a beekeeper. A beekeeper? We'll find out. He also happens to be really good at barbecuing. So fire up the grills and the smokers. Give us a call. The number is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Or you can email voxpop@wamc.org. Voxpop@wamc.org is the email address. Full disclosure, producer Jessica Blaustein Marshall did Morning Edition today, so she's out of here. So I will be monitoring the email myself. I am notoriously bad at that, but I'll give it a shot. So, calling is a definite. Email, yeah, you might get through. Byron Nielsen, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Very nice to have you here. Okay, chef, actor, singer. I didn't even write that you were a former food critic for Metroland. A beekeeper, a singer. Is there any time that you sleep?
Yeah, well, I have to say, my career is entirely based on having a fully employed spouse.
You know what? That works out really well. So tell me about the beekeeping. First of all, well, that's an odd addition to all these other things.
We have a teenage daughter, and maybe 10 years ago, she decided she didn't want to eat refined white sugar, which is an admirable pursuit.
Sure.
And we began making everything with honey, and we were buying it by the pound, by the 10 pound. Finally, I'm getting 40 pound pails of honey from a beekeeper in Schenectady who said, "Why don't you just keep bees? You've got the acreage."
Yeah.
And that's what started us off.
Wow. And so how long have you been doing that?
We're in our fourth year.
And you brought your own honey today?
I not only brought honey, but I made sauces for the barbecue with honey, my honey.
With your own stuff?
Yeah.
All right. So let's talk first about what you brought with you today, and then we'll get into the whole nitty-gritty about barbecuing.
Well, I smoked a pork butt, which is actually a shoulder.
Right.
And an eye round of beef for brisket.
Oh, man.
So we've got those to sample, and we've got a couple of sauces I made. One's a sort of a tomato-based Kansas City tangy sauce. The other's a North Carolina kind of a mustard sauce.
Mm, fantastic.
And just to make it really messy, we've got some rolls and some coleslaw so you can have a classic pulled pork sandwich.
It's tough to do, especially, and I wore a white shirt.
I'm noticing
that. You know, this is a mistake. I must confess, I didn't know that was the topic until I got here, and it might get ugly. And it's a brand new shirt.
But tasty.
Oh, very tasty. Very tasty. I'm sure I can explain that to my wife when I get home. I ruined the shirt, but it was a tasty show.
That's it. I think it's something in the human, the limbic brain that responds to barbecue. It just harkens back to some prehistoric rituals because of all the things I can cook, which are many, when I have a party, if I have friends over, say, "What would you like me to make?" Barbecues,
yeah,
what's always asked for. I think the popularity of bacon is sort of like a harbinger of that.
You know, we have talked about this on the program before. We switched from propane back to charcoal a couple of years ago, and I think it was a revelatory moment. It was one of the greatest things we've done. It has improved my grilling 100%.
It's trickier, though.
In what way?
Well, just to get your heat zones correct and, have the distance from charcoal to the grill correct and work for you.
I've talked to some experts, some people who are not cooks, but people who know more about this, and they say, "Oh, yeah, you put a little more charcoal on one side."
Yeah.
I don't do that, but I have a kind of a big barbecue grill that has a rising and lowering, and it's also got two shelves, so I can sear and then go low and slow on the top.
Oh, that's nice. I'm coming over to your house.
Oh, it works out really well. And what we'll do is we will, we have wood chips, which we soak hickory or cherry or whatever, and then we'll throw them in just to get the smoke.
Now, have you tried cooking a steak directly on the coals?
No.
Oh, that's a treat. That's okay, Philadelphia.
Well, Philadelphia, right? Yeah. Tell me about that. That's got to be a real trick because you burn?
You don't.
Really?
It's surprising. And I had this very costly T-bone, thick T-bone I had invested in to experiment with. And we seasoned it a little bit, very lightly, and then waited till the charcoal coals were, really good white.
Yep.
And on it went. And it cooked. Pretty much the timing was the same as if you were grilling it a few inches away.
You're kidding me. And right on the charcoal.
Right on there. It is whatever residual ash there is must simply grill right into it or fall away.
This is something that you must not teach at the different drummers' cooking classes.
We haven't yet, but heaven knows, I'll work on it.
I mean, there must be a fire code inside the place that would not allow this to happen. What sort of things do you teach at the different drummers' kitchen?
Well, a great variety, because over the years, I reviewed restaurants for about 30 years for Metroland.
That's right.
I started the food column.
The late lamented Metroland.
That's right. And I always thought, coming from a professional kitchen myself, though decades ago, that I'd like to... I want to have a feeling in my hands for what these restaurants are doing. And so I've explored the different cuisines. I have a massive collection of cookbooks. And also, when you've cooked professionally and had, a chef hollering at you on a Saturday night, you learn things very quickly.
Did that tend to make you, as a critic, more sympathetic?
I think far more sympathetic. I sometimes worried that I was too nice.
And not objective enough.
Yeah. My heart is so in the kitchen with the, people laboring there.
So that would, of course, make it a little difficult to lay out a real bad review.
And also, we had to ask, what is it going to accomplish? In some cases, we had no trouble with chain restaurants that were bad, but it was a little tougher to lambaste a local place that may still have been struggling to find its feet.
I mean, what would be the philosophical point of reviewing a chain in any event?
There was none. We stopped.
Did you?
Yeah.
Our guest today is Byron Nielsen, who, as you have heard, was a former food critic for Metroland. He is an instructor, a chef, an actor, a singer, a writer. You're not going to sing on the program, right?
Oh, I can't?
No. Well, if things are really slow, we will. But let's go to the phones at 800-348-2551 and go to Charles in Hyde Park. Charles.
Hello, Ray.
Hello.
Hello, Mr. Nielsen.
Hi.
All right. How you doing? I'm going to talk about the jerk chicken, which I'm famous for in the campouts that I run.
Excellent.
All right. So, anyways, I should just describe the recipe?
Sure.
Okay. All right.
And so then he'll review it, though.
Pardon me?
But then Byron will review it.
Well, I love jerk chicken.
Okay. All right. That's fine with me.
Okay.
Anyways, I buy a commercially prepared jerk rub or jerk seasoning that comes from Kingston, Jamaica. It's sold in a store that's around here, and you probably get it online. It's Bushma Bob. Anyways, it's basically a scallion paste, garlic, hot pepper.
It's mostly allspice.
All island spices, and allspices, a lot of that.
Allspices, right? Usually about
50%. Garlic. And all like that. Anyways, I was taught this recipe by a Jamaican. You get chicken leg quarters, and you get your cleaver out, and you hack them up in about golf ball-sized pieces. And then you marinate this chicken in that dish. Now, come to the cooking. I do this in the woods, in the campouts. All right, wood fire, a hot side, a cold side, and one of those big aluminum, drip trays, that you get at the store. Anyways, I jerk the chicken around the grill. I get it brown and I roast it, and then I just move it off to the side. And those boys pick that chicken out of that pan, as it's going on.
So when's your next camp out?
Oh, okay. Lake George.
And give me directions.
No, no, no. Not on the air.
Well, no, the car show. You'll be, you know, listen, if you really want, I will prepare it for you.
Hey, that's great.
But anyways, it's a very simple, but it's always a tremendous hit.
That sounds good.
So, that's it.
What do you
that's
think, critic?
As I say, I'm naturally predisposed. I like spicy food to begin with, and that combination of allspice and peppers and vinegars and such is just is terrific.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Charles, thanks for getting us started,
it's
man.
I just wanted to make one. It's always I just do it on wood. It's a wood fire. That's what they do in Jamaica. I don't know. Anyways, I just do it with all wood,
nice.
And it's great.
Well, that's
okay. That's it, right? Thanks
a lot. Have a great weekend. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number. Our guest today, Byron Nielsen, who is a cooking instructor at Different Drummers Kitchen. We're also joined today, and I forgot to mention this at the beginning of the show, by Carrie Taylor Noble, who is cooking school coordinator at Different Drummers Kitchen. And I'm not sure what mic Carrie is on, but five? I don't know. Say something.
Hi.
That's her. Well, welcome to the show.
Hi, Ray. I listen to you every Friday.
Do you really?
I do. Yeah. I love the show.
And you still came in.
I did.
Amazing.
I did.
Well, I tell you what, we've had Rick Orlando on and Deanna Fox on, and I know they have all taught courses at the Different Drummers Kitchen.
They do. Rick is a standard. He taught a Himalayan salt block class last week, and Deanna's always there, and Byron is great. And I recently attended a Byron class, and he and Sue, his wife, are so much fun to watch and work with in the kitchen.
Oh, yeah?
And he actually did sing. So
he sang? The singing chef.
He started out the class by singing, and but his techniques are so great. I've learned a lot just from watching him and his wife, Sue. So I'm learning a lot, too.
Well, we'll hopefully learn quite a bit more about some of the great food that I see in front of me. We'll take a quick break. 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. And then we'll sample some food.
Support comes from Field Goods, working with Hudson Valley farmers to deliver weekly subscriptions of local produce year-round to workplaces and community locations. Support small farms and healthy eating. Field-goods.com. The Black Sheep, downtown Amherst, a New York-style delicatessen and European-style all-butterscotch bakery, caterer, and cafe offering fair trade coffee. BlackSheepDeli.com. The Chronogram, announcing their block party, returning to Uptown Kingston Saturday, August 20th from 4 to 11 p.m. with live music, food trucks, beer and wine garden, and more. ChronogramBlockParty.com. Pekarsky's, South Deerfield, Massachusetts, family-owned since 1948, offering sausage from kielbasa to Italian to bratwurst and smoked meats, home of New England farm-made sausage, open 7 days. Pekarsky's.com. And the Lathrop Communities, serving older adults in the Quaker tradition for over 25 years, independent living in Northampton and East Hampton, Massachusetts, in the heart of the Pioneer Valley. Lathrop.kendall.org.
Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's afternoon call and talk show. Ray Graff here. It's a Friday. It's a Food Friday, and we're joined today by Byron Nielsen, an instructor at the Different Drummers Kitchen Cooking School, also Carrie Taylor Noble, who is the cooking school coordinator at Different Drummers. And, boy, we're talking barbecue today. And Byron outdid himself and brought some really good-looking pulled pork and brisket and homemade sauces from your own bees.
From
no
my
less.
Own bees.
Amazing. This looks great. Well, I don't want to eat alone. So, Carrie, maybe you have a little something, too?
I will.
Okay, very good. 800-348-2551. Got to try the brisket first. Sorry.
That's okay.
Oh, look at that. Comes right apart. Oh.
So that spent about 8 hours on the smoke.
And what kind of smoke do you do?
It's a mix of hardwoods. It's, you know, usually what we're burning in the wood stove as well. You know, avoid things like pine and locust.
Well, yeah, I think pine might be a mistake.
I have made the mistake. So.
Have you really?
Oh, yeah.
No, that's not a good idea.
No.
Let's go back to the phone so I can try some of this other stuff here. And, well, gosh, I know Somebody on line one is certainly no stranger to long conversations. It's Rick Orlando. Hey, Rick, how you doing?
Hey, Rick.
Hello, Ray. Hello, Byron. Hello, Terry. My three friends in one place talking about jerk chicken. I had to pull over and call in and just say hello.
All right, man.
How you doing, guys?
I know you're an expert on this, so let's hear what you have to say about jerk chicken.
Well, first of all, I want to thank Byron for giving us a million years ago a great review on our jerk chicken. I think we probably have passed more jerk chicken through the kitchen window than anybody in the Capital District history. It's still a signature dish, but I have a funny jerk chicken story that you may appreciate.
All right, can you tell it on the radio, first of all?
Yeah. Well, I can tell most of it on the radio.
All right, good.
We did a big catering, and you know, very similar. I mean, we made a homemade jerk, lots of allspice, thyme, onions, scallions, a little nutmeg. I put a little molasses in it just to kind of help it caramelize. And we had catering pans, I think five or six pans of jerk chicken for a catering, and there was one pan untouched, and we put it in the catering hot box right behind the seat of the truck we were driving. I was with my nephew at the time.
Yeah.
And we had about an hour drive back to the restaurant. And about 10 minutes into the drive, my nephew said, "Boy, that jerk chicken smells good, huh?" I said, "Well, peel the foil off the pan. We'll nibble as we drive." And we were nibbling jerk chicken, throwing the bones out the window for the turkey vultures, of course.
Of course.
And we ate the entire pan of jerk chicken.
Okay, and then Alka-Seltzer after that, though, right?
We got back to the restaurant. We were brown and sticky and greasy and happy. But, yeah, jerk chicken is that very addictive, flavor. So I just wanted to, and you know, my recipe for jerk chicken's on my website. If anybody wants to steal mine, it's right on the website.
And
so,
what is the website, Rick?
Oh, rickorlando.com, without a K, of course.
Hey, Rick, the last time you were on, and I got great street cred with the kids because I said I ate gator. What was the dish you made with gator when you were on? Was gumbo?
We called it swamp gumbo. It had gator, crawfish, duck, and oysters
that
and
was
crab. Anything you find in the swamp ended up in the gumbo. And that's a good way to make sure people eat things they might say, "I'm not sure I want to eat that," because in gumbo, it's just this murky gumbo of goodies, and you get people to explore new proteins that they may not have encountered anywhere else. So.
Hey, Rick, thanks a lot for the call, man. Have a great weekend.
Byron, be good. Terry, keep up the good work. I'll see you all soon.
See you soon.
Take care.
That's Rick Orlando here on Food Friday. Our guest today is Byron Nielsen, who is a food instructor and brought, I got to tell you, the mustard sauce is out of this. Tell us about the mustard sauce.
Well, half of it is just plain yellow processed mustard.
Right.
But it's got a lot of honey in it.
Oh, it's
And it's cut with some vinegar, a little butter, and some molasses.
Mm.
And there's celery seed in that.
So the pulled pork. Tell us about this recipe. This is fantastic.
Well, that gets a dry rub. It's paprika, granulated garlic, cumin, white pepper, black pepper. I've got like a speed rail of these seasonings.
So you're like a pit crew?
Yeah.
Nice.
And salt, a lot of salt. A variety of peppers. The fire I burn it down, so it's going to be reliably go overnight, because that needs about 8 to 10 hours on the smoke. A rack of ribs needs about 15 or 16.
So the being on the fire that long accomplishes obviously some seasoning. Get the taste, but it also softens up.
Oh yeah,
the meat.
Yes, it's the dry equivalent of braising.
Mm.
And I use an offset smoker, the kind of thing you'd find in a big box hardware store. I think the only time that the fire department was called was the first time I fired it up, and then they got to know that I would be doing this.
Ah, okay, good. So now everybody, and they probably want some food, so they come down.
That's exactly right.
Our number here is 800-348-2551. We talk barbecue today with Byron Nielsen. And who's been waiting longest? Let's see. Let's go over to line three. Nancy in Albany. Oh, did I hit the wrong button? I may have. Let's try it now. Nancy, are you still there?
Yeah, I sure am.
You're on.
I have a question. Okay, I'm kind of a novice at barbecue. I just bought one of those grills that's ceramic, and it takes only charcoal, and it's shaped like an egg, sort of.
Yeah.
And I really don't have any clue what I'm doing, like how much charcoal to use and how hot the fire should be and what temperature. And so just just some basics to get me started, because we asked the salesman and they're like clueless.
Well, so, I mean, trial and error, you will get it right, but I'm sure Byron has some.
Well, I haven't used one of that style of grill. I've looked. I'd love to have, you know, every type of gadget. That's one that I don't.
Well, they're fairly old. That's old school.
Oh yeah, and it's designed to concentrate the heat, so I would expect that you need less charcoal for that. But yeah, I mean, really, you don't need a lot of charcoal under most circumstances. I think the key always is letting the charcoal burn down.
Absolutely. Until you see the, it's all white.
It's all
white. Don't even bother.
Yeah, and there's a hand test. I don't know how easily you can do it in there, but you know how long
are
you can
hold
your
hand. Gordon Liddy, what are you going to put your hand on, over the fire?
Exactly.
Crazy talk.
Well, it's got a thermostat. It's got a thermostat on the outside.
Oh, luxury.
Temperature.
Oh,
so, great. So as soon as I open the lid, though, to put something on or check the temperature or turn it, the temperature drops precipitously, and I have to wait quite some time for it to come back up, and I found that if I don't use enough charcoal, it doesn't come back up.
Very interesting. So, very interesting. Well, I must say, Emily, that when I was on vacation last week, we grilled one day, and they had these at the place I was at, and I have a kind of a bigger barbecue charcoal grill, but we used one of those egg-shaped ones, and I found that, again, as Byron said, it definitely concentrates the heat, and you will probably cook things quicker. And if I don't, does yours have a way for you to raise and lower the grate where you put the meat?
Just pre-cooking. Once it's in there, it's at the height it's going to stay at. So it has two different heights, but I can't adjust it from the outside.
So maybe the trick is to have one area where there is not quite as much charcoal off to the side. Although they're not, they're so focused and round, it would be tough to do that.
Yeah, I would think.
Yeah.
Well, good. Now I have an excuse to get myself one.
Emily, have fun. You'll figure it out very quickly.
Thank you.
Bye. 800-348-2551. Did I? Yeah, that was Emily, right? Oh, we got another Emily? That was Nancy. I'm sorry, Nancy. The new computer system. Emily is now on. Emily in Shelburne Falls. Now you are on.
Yes. Hi. How are you?
Good. Can I call you Nancy?
That's my sister's name, so
okay.
No.
All right, fine.
Let's not get into names. Anyway,
okay.
Two things. Your guest cooks at the Different Drummer in where?
Albany, Stuyvesant Plaza.
Okay, because we have one here in Northampton.
Yes,
so
you do.
Do you ever come out here?
I haven't, but invite me.
All right. Well, I'll tell them to invite you. Yeah. And I just wanted to share a recipe that my husband does, not quite on a grill, but in a fire pit. Does that count?
Yeah, it's still primal.
Okay. First, he makes a fire in our fire pit and lets everything, you know, go down to coals and red coals. And he takes a pork or a beef, a round, you know, a roast, you know, and covers it with mustard and then a coarse salt and puts it in that pit for however long, like an hour or so, hour and a half. And he has a special way of testing it. He sticks a fork in, and if it's hot, then he knows it's done. He has, I don't know. But it's primal, yes, and it's really, really good. It really has the flavors of being from a fire pit. It's delicious.
Well, it sounds like it's he's taking it down to the fundamentals. He's using mustard, which is always a good thing. And it's actually like a classic Southern way of making barbecue, which is simply to use a pit and put your pig in that and let that cook mm-hmm. overnight.
Yeah. Well, it's very interesting. All the cook food shows, Ray, are great.
Well,
and,
thank you.
I'm glad you had a nice vacation. I missed you.
Well, it's good to be back. And I tell you what a way to come back with this great food here today. And Emily, thanks for the call.
Of course.
And
thank
I won't
you.
Call you Nancy next time.
Thank you.
All right. See you around. 800-348-2551. Byron Nielsen is our guest today. 800-348-2551. Carrie Taylor Noble, who is the cooking school coordinator at Different Drummers, also here. What's coming up at the school?
Oh, wow. Next week we have Dora from Finn the Fishmonger. She's teaching a class on, we have a seafood series.
Mm.
I believe that's Tuesday night, but you can check out our website, www.differentdrummerskitchen.com, and all of our classes for the next 60 days are listed, and I'm working on 40 more classes that will run from October through December.
Fantastic. Byron, what's the next one you'll teach?
I'm up September 19th doing French stews for fall.
French stews?
We're going to do a beef bourguignon, a classic chicken fricassee that will bear no resemblance to what you may have had in the elementary school lunchroom.
But can you make the tuna sailboats we used to have at the elementary school lunchroom?
Those were great.
Oh, weren't they, with the cheese and the sail?
And we're going to have ratatouille.
Very nice.
With the components cooked separately, which makes it, gives it the more distinctive individuality.
Now, how long does a class take?
Two and a half hours. Yeah. It's, and I fear that food television has set up a certain expectation that anything can be accomplished in 30 minutes, which is just not the case. So some things do get pre-prepped if they would take a very long time, but we do try to show the complete process of something and make it into a really nice meal by the end of it. So everybody gets to enjoy a dinner.
We've had food instructors on here many times before, and I always want to ask them, are there just those students where you say, what are you doing? What are you doing here? You clearly have no aptitude.
Oh,
no. None.
Oh, you know, I've never seen anyone who actually steps forward to try something who can't do it.
Really?
The thing I lament is the people who don't step forward. I think all you have to do is cross that line and cooking is, there's no mystery to it.
But there is an art to it, and then there is a zen to it.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's a zone.
If you're not feeling it,
right,
then don't do it.
And you know, short of having some an angry chef hollering at you, you need to keep at it and learn the moves, learn the techniques, which you can only do by doing it over and over again. Unlike television, the things you're doing don't speed up before your eyes.
Or not like radio, live radio. This is it.
It
can be a long hour, man, but you're doing a great job. Let's
go
to Bill on the Mass Pike. Bill, are you still with us?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, you're on.
All right, thank you very much. I just wanted to get your thoughts. Years ago, a friend of mine had bought a pellet smoker. I bought one, and I can tell you that I smoke just about everything, fruit, pizzas, breads, but the thing I do the best is, much like what you have today, is a pork shoulder and the pulled pork that I do. It takes me about 10 hours, but just what are your thoughts of using a pellet smoker with a much more controlled temperature instead of, maybe kind of guessing or experience with the whole wood smoking?
Well, I use the same philosophy as for what I heat the house with. You know, I burn what's available, and we happen to have a lot of woods. So I haven't worked with the pellet stove or grill. But what you say is absolutely important, regulating the temperature. So for my smoker, it's a matter of regulating the heat that's going into the flame box and then the smoke that's coming out of the chimney that's over the meat. And there's a little bit of a science to that, keeping an eye on the thermostat and making sure it stays at about 210 degrees.
All right, Bill?
Sure. Much like your the egg lady that was talking about that,
yeah,
with this, it's so much easier because you can just set the thermostat and, you don't, other than keeping an eye on making sure your pellets don't run out and choosing the right kind of pellets that you want. It's so much easier to get involved in smoking and doing and exploring things that way.
That's very interesting.
To me, it's no different than using your oven, really, to cook something. It's just now you've got that flavor that everybody loves.
Mm. And you have it down pretty well now, Bill?
Well, the pork shoulder, for sure. I struggle with some of the other ones, but trial and error, and nothing's awful. I won't throw anything off my table, that's for sure.
Good for you. Well, thanks for the call, Bill. We appreciate it. Our number is 800-348-2551.
Should life be that easy?
That's a great question. without the struggle, is it really worth it? Well, I think if the food's good, it's worth it.
I will go this far, though. I'm not chasing down the animals.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you, although some people do that, and that's fine.
Although the bees do come after me.
So the bees do come after you. And, okay, now I got to ask you this. Carrie Taylor-Noble, you brought a couple gadgets here, and I have no idea what... The propane tank gauge, I can figure it out.
Yeah, that's great. It goes on the outside of your propane tank, and you can tell, you know, if it's close to empty. And so that's just something we carry in the store. And I just thought it was pretty nifty, and, you know, we sell a lot of them.
This Cajun injector, on the other hand, I'm not sure exactly how you do that.
I thought it was kind of funny, so I brought it. It might have been kind of a joke gift. You can inject your meat with marinade with sort of a large hypodermic needle. So it was sort of a joke gift, but it works.
Well, I mean, it would make sense, right? But so if you marinate something, and that's a question we always have, how long will you marinate something? I tend to over-marinate. I don't think you can fail by leaving it in an extra 6 hours.
Well, I'm of the same school, although I made a Moroccan tagine recently, and I marinated the chicken overnight. And at some point during the cooking, the chicken released all of its liquid, which I'd never seen it do before. And even before the carrots and celery and such were cooked, it had turned rather dry.
That's interesting.
Well, I have a question, Byron, for you for about cooking. And I, you know, I'm kind of a hobby cook, and I love to cook ribs, but I start them out in a pressure cooker. And then, you know, after a certain amount of time in the pressure cooker, maybe 20 minutes, I don't have the recipe with me, I will transfer them to a pan and then put the sauce on them and let them cook for a long time. Now, any thoughts on that? I'm pretty happy with it, but, you know, I am speeding up the process. So.
Well, I've done the all oven technique, but once I went over to smoking, I'm afraid I haven't come back. And I kind of think, although, yeah, it is 16 hours, yes, you can sleep while that's happening, but that's also why we have beer.
Ah!
Right, okay. Brilliant. I forgot about that.
And brilliant. You see, that's
not for the ribs.
That's the sort of insight that we're looking for on this program. 800-348-2551 is the number. Byron Nielsen, our guest. It's Food Friday, don't you know? We'll hit the home stretch coming up.
Support comes from Gloriosa & Company, Ashfield, Massachusetts, New Barn Wedding Venue and Heated Antique Greenhouse, offering tailored catering, garden to vase flowers, and 4-bed and breakfast rooms. GloriosaCO.com. Gothic Inn, Block Island, Rhode Island, a Victorian bed and breakfast perched high overlooking Crescent Beach, a short walk from the town and the ferry. Dogs are welcome. TheGothicInn.com. Blue Heron Restaurant and Catering, located in the Old Town Hall, Sunderland, Massachusetts. Open Tuesday through Sunday at 5, featuring outdoor dining on the patio and front porch throughout the summer. BlueHeronDining.com. And River Valley Co-op, Northampton, Massachusetts, a food co-op featuring fresh local foods, a deli department with made-to-order sandwiches, a soup and salad bar, and a bakery. RiverValley.coop.
Oh, we're back on. Jordan Taylor, our engineer, is wasting no time. Fine. Enough with the chit-chat in Studio A. We're back on the air. It's Food Friday, 800-348-2551. Ray Graff here with you. And Byron Nielsen is our guest today. Also, Carrie Taylor-Noble. And they're part of the Brain Trust at the Different Drummers Kitchen Cooking School. Byron will be teaching a thing on French stews.
French stews.
That's amazing. Now, where'd you learn that?
Some of it in the restaurant kitchen, much from cooking at home. My wife used to cook professionally as well, so...
Is she a tough critic?
Oh, she is.
Yeah?
I think our first substantial argument was over how to slice an onion, and we have maintained differing attitudes towards cookery since.
Mm. Well,
she's a thyme chef. You can tell what she's cooking because you can smell the thyme in it.
Really?
Yeah.
You should have brought her on.
Oh,
We could have had a marital argument. We could have had a cooking show. It would have been great.
Well, we do sometimes squabble while working, teaching together, and I think it's inadvertently led to more popularity.
Yeah, you see. It's always good for the floor show. Let's go to John in Plainfield. John, you're on. Hello? No, John hung up. All right. Well, good for you, John. Not a bad idea. Let's go to Cece in Columbia County. Cece.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good.
All right, so I'm from the islands, from Jamaica, and my fiance is from Puerto Rico. So we tend to try to do things in a more efficient way. We bought a grill recently for the summer. It's pretty nice. It had propane, which we'd never used before, and it had a charcoal side, which was nice.
Wow.
It had the raised grate.
Yeah.
Under $200, man, for 4th of July.
For a hybrid
really
grill like
deal.
That? I've never even heard of one of those. Propane
and... And it had a side cooker for the beans or whatever you have on the side.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So here's a dilemma. And I don't even know if it's a dilemma, really, or maybe it's just that we just got to keep doing what we know. In Puerto Rico and Jamaica, they tend to use a lot of coal mixed with wood, firewood. You like little strips like kindling.
Yeah.
And they usually tend to you know, things don't, you don't waste much time cooking with that. And, you know, it's like an even cook. We found a very even cook. Now, all the neighbors have propane, and they say you don't want people waiting for burgers and hot dogs. But we found that the propane didn't cook as evenly and give that nice crisp to the food. And sometimes it kind of dried it out a bit. Is there anything you can suggest in approach? Should we be heating up and priming the grill with the propane first before we put the meat on?
But it sounds like you're happy with what you've got.
Listen, the charcoal and the charcoal side is amazing. We grill with that continuously. But again, we have the propane, and people tend to want to see some faster action with the propane because, you know, the coal is a process.
Yeah, but it's worth it, isn't it?
Yeah. Hand them a beer. Tell them to shut up.
Yeah, I got to tell you, when we went back to charcoal a couple of years ago, I will never go back to propane unless it's a tailgating at a game or something and you need a little small propane grill. But I don't think you can beat the charcoal and the wood.
I'm happy to have an answer for myself, for my fiance, and for the neighbors, because people just kind of felt like, you know, are we really that old school? I mean, you know, when you're not American, traditionally, you tend to think that whatever you guys do is tend to be more forward. But it sounds like the primal cooking, which I like that term, by the way, is a more appreciative way of getting your meat done and appreciating the process.
Old school is good.
It tastes better, too.
It does.
So,
Cece,
thank you so much.
Thanks a lot for the call, and I will look into this hybrid grill. It is a cool idea. I've never seen anything like that. No?
No.
Anybody?
Not me.
Nope.
800-348-2551 on this. Okay, thanks. John is back on. Our engineer has informed me. All right, John, who hung up on us, we'll give him another chance. 800-348-2551. John, you hung up, but we're still going to put you on the air. You're on.
I don't know if I hung up or I got cut off. But anyway, hi.
Hi.
Got a question on cooking things like, you know, flounder fillets and cod and haddock and stuff like that on the grill.
Yeah.
How do you do it?
Well, I have a grill basket that I put fish in when I'm doing that kind of thing.
All right. What would you use on your fish? I have to realize that my wife has a citrus allergy. So cooking all the way around definitely is harder than it is for most people.
Right. I'm a big fan of the simplicity, salt and pepper, and do something to it afterwards. If you're not putting citrus on that, how about vinegars? Can you use any of those?
I can use them as long as I don't get into balsamic, because then, again, you get into a lot of those have citric acid.
Right, right. But I think the beauty part of fish, fresh fish, is you know, the flavor that it has, which oftentimes is kind of subtle. So I think the grilling itself helps to bring out those flavors.
Okay, so you just use the basket on it.
Yeah, yeah.
Or something like that.
Or I would, you know, if I don't have that, I'll put some tinfoil down.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
All right. Well, John, thanks a lot for the call. We appreciate you getting through. We used to do tuna steaks way back when, but it's been at least 25 years since I've done that.
The price has gone up.
Yeah, well, and scotch, too.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. All right, let's go to line number 5. And that's Mark in Albany. Mark, you're on.
Hello, how are you today?
Good, you're on.
Okay, great. I was a whitewater raft guide in West Virginia for years. I played rugby for 9 years. The point is that I have a special recipe for steaks that I can give you for a marinade. But what I would like to talk about, if it's all right, is I played rugby with two men from Tonga, the South Sea Island, and they taught us as a rugby team how to do a luau underground pig.
Okay.
We could do 150 pound to 200 pound pig, along with piles of baked potatoes wrapped in aluminum foil, piles of corn still in the husk, salted and soaked in salt water.
Yeah.
Chickens, turkeys, etc., in less than 2.5 hours.
Wow. Pretty amazing.
Wow, that is. I've read about that. I've actually saw was at a pig roast yesterday, but that pig was on a big grill.
Yeah.
So.
Well, the process. If you'd like to know the process, I'd love to tell you.
Well, yeah, sure.
First of all, you dig a hole big enough to hold the stones and the pig and everything you're going to cook.
Okay.
Then you field stone, field rock, not river stone, because river stone gets water and it'll explode.
Yeah,
it'll
steam.
You dig the pit, you put the stone and line it with the stone, a lot of stone, and then you build a really good hardwood fire, and then you drink a lot of beer, and you wait for that hardwood fire to burn down to nothing but coals and makes the stone really, really, really hot.
Okay.
You get a chicken wire big enough to hold the pig, wrap around it. And the hardest part is catching the pig.
Yeah, but, yeah. Well, let's skip that part.
Okay. Anyway, you take and you open, after the pig is dressed, cleaned, and everything else, you open him up and you put the stone inside the pig.
Oh.
Then you close him up in the chicken wire. After you close him up in the chicken wire, then you lay him down on the stones and make sure that there's a wooden handle on each end so you can pick the chicken wire up without burning yourself.
All right, makes sense.
Now you take and pile piles of aluminum foiled baked potatoes on one side,
yeah,
turkeys, corn on the cob. It can stay just in the husk. You don't have to wrap that. And then you put the stones all the way around the outside of the pig. Make sure he's in there.
Okay.
You take tree branches, green tree branches, and cover the pit with the tree branches.
All right.
Then cover the entire pit with heavy aluminum foil. After you get that all covered, you cover the whole thing with feed bags.
Yeah.
And then you cover the whole thing with 3 to 4 inches of the dirt from digging the hole. And then you sit down and you drink more beer, and if you see smoke coming up or steam coming up, throw a little more dirt on that spot.
Fair enough.
2.5 hours later, very carefully, remove the feed bags, which takes the dirt away from the meat and everything.
Okay.
Then you carefully remove the aluminum foil. Then you remove the sticks. Then you remove the pig, put them on the table, take out the potatoes, and everything is flavored with the pig flavor, too.
Amazing.
It's phenomenal.
Wow.
It's phenomenal.
That sounds great. Hey, Mark, that was a beautifully detailed description. You want to comment on that, Byron?
That's going to be my next party, obviously.
That's so
cool. I may not survive the process.
No, well, I feel like we went through the whole process.
I want to know how many people that would feed.
Yeah.
I guess it depends on the pig, right?
Right.
So we lost him.
Well, we assume that the slower pigs will be the fatter ones.
Okay, let's move on, and let's go back to the phones. Joseph and Tivoli. Joseph, if it could be a little briefer than the last one, that would be great.
Yeah, no worries. First of all, I have done that full pig underground roast like this guy was just saying.
Yeah.
He did it almost exactly like that.
Was it good?
In fact, it's incredible. You can feed well over 80 people.
There you go.
Easily.
Okay, now we know.
We've actually done that in Santa Monica on the beach in the sand. So you can use sand beaches as well. So I just wanted to give a couple of quick tips to the lady that had the big green egg, which
yeah,
has smoked on considerably. With regards to her temperature, you know, definitely straight Kingsford, not the lighter fluid, you know, soap stuff. Never use that stuff. But just straight Kingsford or hardwood lump coal. A friend of mine developed a trick where on the very bottom where you have the vent, you can actually take a small, just one of those clip-on fans, and you can set that into the vent, which helps actually, you know, reignite the flame and keep it consistent in there just by using a light breeze.
Oh, interesting.
It helps the charcoal light faster. You don't need a lot of charcoal with the Big Green Egg because it's ceramic, and the whole idea of the design is it heats up, kind of like a convection oven.
Yeah.
So you need less coal. It's just a little trickier to get it in and out of there because of the design of the vent space.
Yep.
But as far as regulating the temperature, then, you know, on the very top of it, there's another basically like a flue on the top of it that you can use to toggle back and forth, just like a Weber. I'm a diehard, lifelong, you know, Weber smoker. That's what I just use, the classic kettle design.
Yeah.
Because those things are so easy to regulate the temperature on the inside. you know, 10 charcoals will get your Weber up to about 250 degrees. People tend, when they're starting to do this, they tend to put way too much charcoal on, and then you've got a, you know, a 350 or 400-degree grill, and that's not smoking temperature. You want to be right between 180 and 220.
Sure.
For most things.
All right. Well, I think that's
last,
good advice.
The last thing I was going to say is, you know, I'm a big, big fan of fruit woods, which there is a lot of in this area, as well as vineyards where you can get when they're trimming out the, you know, the orchards and vineyards every year. A lot of this wood that they're trimming out just gets discarded. You know, go and talk to the people at the farm and get that stuff.
So the apple wood, the cherry wood,
Yeah. 100%. Yeah.
Good advice.
Thanks a lot for that call. Let's go over to Carol in Port Ewan. Carol, you're on.
Hi. I'd like to get back into grilling on outdoors, and I don't like the propane, so I, like you, want to use the charcoal, but I'm fire challenged. I'm wondering what my best strategy would be to start the charcoal.
This is a great question for you, Byron.
Well, it's, I think you've got three main ways. You can douse with lighter fluid, which I don't do. You've got an electric starter. I have one of those. And
an electric starter for a charcoal grill?
Yeah, it's like a cowl rod that starts the charcoal going.
Oh, I'll be darned.
But you have to have a source of electricity nearby. And then there's the classic chimney, and that's what I use most of all. Stuff some newspaper in the bottom, charcoal on the top, make sure that there's enough ventilation so the newspaper really ignites. And within 15 or 20 minutes, you've got a chimney there of white coals that can help start more of them.
Wow, fabulous. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Carol. You know, I've heard people talk about the chimneys. Explain how they work a little better.
It's a cylindrical item. It's got a grate about a quarter of the way up.
I've seen them.
And you put newspaper below that. I used to use Metroland. And then you I had so much of it.
I see.
And then you put charcoal on the top.
Amazing.
Light the newspaper. And
the charcoal will evenly light?
Yeah. Well, it starts from the bottom and it sort of works its way up.
All right, let's quickly go to Chet in Spencertown. Chet, you're on with Byron Nielsen.
I wanted to first congratulate Byron Nielsen on the many years at Metroland.
Oh, thanks.
I miss the paper, and I miss his columns very much.
And I married a Spencertown native.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Congratulations. Very smart man. And you know, we found many wonderful restaurants because of you, so thank you.
Oh, thank you.
It's nice to hear.
As far as grills, you know, I'm a real amateur, and I do cook a lot on a grill, but I cheat and use the Weber and Gas propane grill, and a wonderful big book called Weber Big Book of Grilling.
I have that one.
An older book.
Yep.
Do you?
Yeah. I do.
And everything is so easy because it's so precise in telling you how to do it, and it's so easy to cook fish. I cook steelhead trout a lot on it.
Oh, nice.
And salmon and swordfish and tuna. And I'm a coward. I agree with you. The charcoal is probably better for taste, but I'm lazy. So that's what I do.
Well, Chet, thank you very much for the call. Quickly, let's go over to Chris. Chris, you only have about 20 seconds here.
Okay. I just bought an infrared grill, and it appears that the number one benefit is that it makes for smoother, more well spread out heat, and also reduces any drippings falling into the flames below. Have you had experience with this, what's called an infrared grill, and is there any feature that I'm missing about it?
I have no experience with
that. What is an infrared grill? It's a charcoal grill?
It's just got another layer of metal between the flame source. It's a gas grill, of course. It enables the bottom flame, if you will, to be generated through a series of much smaller holes which then go directly into the grills themselves. So it seems to spread the heat more evenly. It's made by charbroil, and the big benefit I found is that nothing is dripping through anymore and flaming up.
Very interesting.
So, you know, I've had a good start with it, but I wanted to know if there's anything else that you may know. But apparently it's new to you guys.
It is, but it's
not anymore.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for breaking new ground. All right, that's about where we will have to leave it today. But we want to thank you for being here. Now, what's the website for Different Drummers?
www.differentdrummerskitchen.com, and we have some grilling classes coming up, too.
Fantastic. Indoors? How do you do that?
We will figure it out.
Oh, aha! Well, you better call the fire marshal. Byron Nielsen, thank you.
Oh, great pleasure.
A lot of fun to have you here, and we'll look forward to your French stews class.
Yes.
Which I won't be there, but
I'll just have to bring you some.
I'll send my emissaries to check it out. Support comes from Spirit House, Amherst, Massachusetts, a family-owned wine, beer, and spirits retailer offering organically farmed wines from around the world. Wine tasting Saturday afternoons, spirithaus.com. Big Y, family-owned and operated with Big Y Express stations in Lee and Pittsfield, celebrating 80 years of serving communities throughout New England, bigy.com. Phillips Real Estate, Block Island, Rhode Island, offering year-round sales from island cottages within walking distance of town and beaches to waterfront properties. Phillips on BI.com. And the Clark Art Institute, Williamstown, Massachusetts, works by Renoir, Degas, Monet on view in the nearby Berkshires, clarkart.edu. Thanks again to Byron Nielsen for being here and to Carrie Taylor Noble. Thanks to our engineer, Jordan Taylor. Barb King took your calls. Our producer is Jessica Blaustein Marshall. And I'm Ray Graff. Have a wonderful weekend. Thanks for being with us this week on Vox Pop. Alan will be in the big chair on Monday at 2 for a Medical Monday. Stay tuned now for news. Have a great weekend.